What is up, everyone? Thank you for tuning in. It's a Matt Ramage show presented by the greatest gas station of all time, Quick Trip. And right now, they just started their new sweepstakes. You can win chicken for life. You can eat chicken until you die at Quick Trip. All you have to do is go eat some chicken. Every time you buy chicken, use your Quick Rewards app. You are in the sweepstakes to win chicken for life. It's like, I think it's 8-piece chicken once a week for the rest of your life. That's, I said, if I win, I'm quitting my job. I'm just going to get a nice little van and live in the Quick Trip parking lot. That's all I'm going to do. But so be sure, if you're getting the chicken from Quick Trip, that you're using the Quick Rewards app so that you're in the sweepstakes. You know what I mean? Good luck. Let's win some chicken together. But the today's guest is also a sponsor of mine, Nick Laylaw. Everyone has seen the banners, everyone, the billboards. I don't know why I always call them banners, but this is the man behind the billboard, Mr. Russell Nicolay. How you doing today, man?
Dude, I'm doing well. How about yourself, Matt?
I'm good. I just got done with work, you know, slanging that cheese all day.
Heck now, yeah, I get to man.
Talk to you. But so today's episode, I want everyone, because we've chatted a little bit before, and then just for like the last 20 minutes, I think. So I want to show everyone the man behind the billboards, because I haven't met a lot of lawyers, but like I would never guess that you're a lawyer, and that's not an insult, but like you're I work with people just like you.
Yeah, and I'm proud to be that. You know, I'm glad that you say that, and to me that's an honor for people to say that, because I think I told you the same thing, but I tell people this all the time. I'm just a regular guy from Wisconsin that got a law degree as a lawyer. So, and I take pride in that. So thank you.
Yeah. I feel like, cause we're like, so, how old are you?
I'm 42. I was born in 81.
Yeah. So we're like the same age. I was born in 79, but I think we just took different routes in our life. I made a lot of mistakes early on. Took me a minute, but, you went and got a degree. Became a lawyer. I worked at a car wash for a while, and then a cheese factory for the last 22 years. But I feel like we're like the same type of dude. But
dude, I think it's so awesome that when you told me you worked before, you know, when we talked in the past that you worked at a cheese factory, I think that's just badass. Like, that's awesome.
It's not as fun as it sounds, but it's a good job. But so like you grew up in Green Bay, right?
Yeah. Yep. So I was born in Eau Claire. And then I moved to Sheboygan for a bit when I was little. And then we moved up to Green Bay, like in second grade. I lived in Green Bay second grade until I graduated college, basically.
So like, did you always want to be a lawyer? Or was that just like when college time came, you're like, I'm going to go be a lawyer? Or like, how did you plan that?
Yeah, no, I mean, when I was younger, I was a decent student. But as I got into high school, I would say I was not the most studious guy. So like I had really no plans to go to college. I didn't think about going to college at all. It wasn't on my radar, wasn't on my plan. You know, I was the first person in my family to go to 4-year university, a lot of my mom, my dad. And so like basically I had some other plans to go do, and I didn't have a ton of direction. And so my mom told me, to like, hey, can you do me a favor and like just take the ACT and apply to one college? And you know, it's your mom, right? You're gonna, you wanna make her like, sure, whatever, mom, if that makes you feel better. And I went to Bayport High School. So I had a teacher there named Mr. Jameson. I actually told the story to my college not too long ago, but, and he just had been talking about going to Point. When he went to Point, he played foosball. And that was what he was like, that's how I made my decision where I can apply foosball and some other things. So, I took the ACT, and I think that and I don't remember all the details, but I think I maybe had the score sent directly there, and I got accepted. And so when I got accepted, obviously my mom was just so excited, and I talked to my grandpa, and you know, he hadn't gone to college either, obviously. And so they were just like, hey, you got to go to college, man. Like, this is your opportunity. And so eventually I did it. And I went to college at Point, which was an awesome place to go because, you know, growing up kind of outside on the outskirts of Green Bay in the Suamico area, it's kind of rural. Point's not really a big town, but you still have the college there and a little bit of the, you know, Stevens Point City, which isn't much of a city, but really a great place to be. It's like a good transition for me to go from living outside Green Bay to Point. And just, it turned out that my cousin somehow ended up going there. And some other people from Suamico, including a guy that I played baseball with when we were little. So that was just a lot of things worked out, man. It was pretty cool.
So. Yeah, I actually know the Suamico area really well. They got a good Burger King over there.
Yeah, We used to hit that one up a lot.
My brother-in-law used to live over there. My mom kind of lives close in that roundabout area. But yeah, so like growing up in Green Bay, were you a big Packer fan?
Yeah, definitely. So I remember my first memories of the Packers were being in Sheboygan and my dad, you know, and we're talking the 80s, right? You know, the pack 80s were a rough time for the Packers. I mean, the 70s, right? Like, but so I remember just like briefly stuff about the Packers when I was really little. But when we moved to Green Bay, my mom would take us down to the practice facility. And, you know, it wasn't what it is now, right? Yeah. And also the Packers, I mean, obviously everybody in Green Bay loved them, but it wasn't the destination that it is now. So it was pretty much that chain link fence, and there were some bleachers there for the practice field. And we would watch it. My brother Adam and I, who are 2 years apart, my cousin, who's like about 3 years younger than me, he would come up from Eau Claire, or come over from Eau Claire, and we'd watch. And my mom actually used to take her van. And, you know, when the Packers would put up the green tarp so you couldn't see, we would sit on top of her van and watch. And, like, they didn't care because, like, we're not obviously going to turn them into the Bears or anything. Like, we're not videotaping. Yeah. And I bet, like, I've got signed Chris Jackie card. I meant to bring that today because I want to put it in my office. But anyway, yeah, big Packer fan back then when I was a kid. Obviously, my dad used to watch the game. I just remember this. And, you know, Packers, more often than not back then, weren't winning games. And he would watch like a certain part and he'd be like, that's it. We're going outside to do work. that's how it went. And sometimes my buddies and I in the neighborhood would play. We'd be playing football outside, going in and checking on the score, listening to the radio. Dude, good time.
That's exactly, dude, my life. Like that's what we do. When I was like, I lived in Fond du Lac for a while before we moved to Green Bay. And that's what we would do. Like my family always had people over for the Packer game, and we'd be outside playing football on the road. Then we'd run in, check the score. They'd yell at us, "Get out of here!" Because the Packers were always losing. And my neighbor friend was a Bears fan, so they wouldn't even let him in the house.
Yeah,
they were like, on Sunday he could come on other days, but he wasn't allowed to talk about the Bears because they were good then. The Packers were not. So he'd always have like jokes and stuff, and they'd be like, "Get out of here!" Like that was a serious thing. Well, that's what we always did. You know, in the winter, you have your snowsuit on, have your little cheap jersey. My mom got it at rummage sale. We'd be out there playing, run in, check the score. And then especially if they were losing, like, hey, we'll win this one for you, buds. But I think like every Wisconsin kid, that must be what their life was.
Yeah. And I mean, other than the Packers losing back then, it was a pretty, I mean, it was fun. Because, you know, the thing too, like I tell people, like they ask about growing up in Green Bay. And if I remember correctly, the Green Bay Press Gazette, like every day would have a new story on the Packers and all the specials. And so we would get the newspaper and there'd always be stuff to read about the Packers. And it just like, and sometimes they would have, I feel like maybe when Don Majkowski was out, like they might have a spread he'd hanging up on your wall with some tape. And dude, I don't know. It was a lot of fun as a kid. You know, obviously you play flag football, and I remember getting the steps in, like Sterling Sharp. I think, just a lot of good times, man. So,
yeah, dude, Don Majkowski was my favorite, like my first favorite player. Like I knew other players before him, but he was like the guy who I was like, you know, in love with. I'm like, dude, this is the guy. I was mad when Favre came along at first. But who was your favorite player as a kid?
Yeah, it's probably Sterling Sharp. I mean, if I look back, I think Sterling Sharp is probably my Don Majkowski. The Magic Man, which I was excited about him, but you know, he didn't last very long. He had the injury.
No.
But like Sterling Sharp, I mean, obviously a great receiver, just a good guy. Like I don't know. He was probably one of my favorite players. I mean, obviously Reggie White came along and changed a lot of things, but I would say if you had to look back, and if I was a kid and you said who's your favorite player, it'd probably been Sterling Sharp. So.
Yeah, and that wouldn't have been a bad answer, dude. Sterling Sharp needs to be in the Hall of Fame. Like, it's ridiculous that he's not. But so going to those practices early on, did you get to meet any players? Like, you mentioned you got to think of Chris Jackie, but, like, did you get to meet him? Because, like, I wasn't there, like, back then. Like, I hear the stories of people saying, like you said, like, just a chain-link fence and whatever. I mean, I moved to Green Bay. I think I was about 12. And we used to ride our bikes around everywhere, because that's what kids did back then. There's rode bikes everywhere, so we'd wander around Lambeau Field, but we really never knew that it was an option to go and like see them practice or like see them walk into their cars and all that other stuff, because now it's like so commercialized or whatever. It's like a, you know, a huge business, but back then everything was just kind of there.
It was. It just felt like kind of part of the city. And we did. My brother Adam and I would walk. So we lived in Suamico, so we didn't ride our bikes there. So because, you know, you could bring your bike. I suppose my mom could have thrown it in the van, but we would walk across the parking lot. I just remember being small and looking up in their cleats, and you'd walk with them. And I mean, but like, it's different now because they have, I feel like back then they didn't have all the fences and gates. And I mean, it was just really, like you said, you wouldn't even know. You could just be in the parking lot there and there'd be a Packer walking across. It was just a lot different back then. I mean, it's awesome that the Packers became, you know, they just got the fame that they've always deserved. But at the same point, it was like a different vibe because it was just kind of part of the community. And if you lived in that community, you kind of just got to meet the Packers and, you know, watch them practice and stuff. So
It's kind of still that way to a certain degree, because like when practices are going on, they practice across the street. Yeah. If you just hang around in front of Lambeau Field, like, you'll see coaches walk up to practice. You'll see some players every now and again. A lot of the players are driving. But I remember one day I was making a video, Bears Still Suck video, where I was dancing around in a circle. And, you know, I said something like, hey, whatever is going to happen on that. But you know what? The Bears still suck. And that's kind of like my thing. And I was dancing in a circle with no music playing, because then I play that Bears still suck, you know? So I'm dancing in a circle, holding my phone with no music playing. And I see some guys coming and I'm kind of embarrassed. I look, it's the coaches. I'm not for sure that it was Matt LaFleur. But it was the coaches. Like, they all had clipboards and they all kind of, and I just kind of jetted. I kind of just walked away because I had so much shame going through me. But I always wonder if they're like, dude, what's going on? Why we need to start driving? We can't be walking around with these idiots dancing around in front of Lambeau Field.
I think though, the coaches and the players, like, that's part of the reason why they like to play in Green Bay, right? It's just, look at you're out there doing a dance, you know, and obviously you're, I think just that level of enthusiasm, I think that does a lot for, you know, obviously us as like just a normal person, we don't want to be embarrassed in front of the coaches or the players, but they probably, my guess is they're probably like, yeah, man, that's what you expect here. That's pretty cool. Like, that's the fans here, you know? So I think that's a cool part of Green Bay.
Yeah. Like the training camp. I don't know. Have you been to training camp lately in the last, since you're an adult?
No, I have not. I've not been to training camp. I've been fortunate. So when I was a kid, I got to go to one Packer game my whole time there. The whole time I lived there, it was against the Chiefs. Packers lost. I went there with my dad and my uncle. That was the only game I ever went as a kid. I got to go. Since then, as a lawyer, because we've got, you know, deals and vendors stuff, all this going on, I think in the last, I don't even know how many games I've been to in the last 3-4 years, but it's a ton. So, but I have not been to training camp because typically it's hard for me to get down there at that time of the year, but we might have to do it.
And day, it's like in the morning, you have a job.
Yeah. Cause usually most games are on Sunday. You know, obviously you got some Monday night games, sometimes some other Thursday, but like, the Sunday ones I can generally make work, or if I have to like miss a little bit of work in the morning on Monday, I can do it. But yeah. So.
Yeah. Training camp is so much different now. I actually love it. I think training camp is as fun as going to a game. Like, you go down there and I see people that I see every year. It's kind of like a party. A lot of people, you know, some people recognize me, and it's just like hanging out with all your friends. I don't even hardly watch practice. I go by the fence, and I know a spot on the fence that you can go in and kind of watch from a distance, and I have to sit in the bleachers. I don't really like sitting like smashed in with people unless I have to. But training camp is just a ball. Then you go down to Stadium View, have a few brews, especially when it's like 100 degrees. Yeah. I remember one time I was out there, everyone sweating. I went to Stadium View, had some beers, had some food, came back. I didn't even watch practice. They're like, well, that was a hot one. I'm like, yeah, it's brutal. I just went and put down like a sixer.
Yeah, but you know, that's part of the Packers experience, whether it's a game or training camp, is just the people, right? Like the people and the vibe. I mean, that's part of me in Green Bay, I think. And that's why, like, other teams, their fans like coming, right? I mean, obviously they don't like to lose, especially now that we win at home. But, like, it's the experience, because I think that's, like, says a lot for the city of Green Bay, as well as, you know, obviously we have rivalries. But I think the Packer fans are pretty open and welcoming. I mean, you're going to get a Bears Still Suck chant and things like that.
Yeah, every game.
I mean, it's a good place to come if you're a football fan, right? If you just like the sport of football, even if it's not Packers on your team, you know, you got to get to like Lambeau Field or Green Bay. It's just the way it is. And I think.
That's even like people who hate the Packers. They all say it. Other players, other fans, like everyone. Lambeau Field is one of a kind. So let me ask you this. Let me throw on your analyst hat. What are your thoughts on the Packers? Like currently, like Jordan Love, this whole team, because I'm stoked. I think next year they're winning the Super Bowl, but I'm told I'm a homer. I'm biased, the people tell me. But what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think the Packers are going to be tough next year. I think, like, a lot of things, and I was reading something, who put that together the other day, that basically said, like, how did the Packers pick the quarterbacks they did? It was just luck. Was it one of the Wolfs or somebody like that? Like Ron Wolf's kid, or I can't remember.
Yeah. Ron Wolf's kid. He's in New England now. He made a comment. They said, how do the Packers keep getting quarterbacks? And he said, luck. And then he kind of joked around about it. Yeah. And he said, and the people on Facebook, I posted it, like, they said luck. People were like, that's not luck. I'm like, dude, that's the guy. He was here.
Yeah. Well, and I think, like, the way the Packers are right now is, like, you know, a lot of people weren't patient with Jordan Love. And I, you know, I had my doubts a little bit here too, and that here and there, just because we went from Rodgers, and obviously the way that he ended at, you know, it was like, it's hard to go anywhere when you had that guy throwing the ball. But I mean, look at the young receivers, like, look at the tight ends we have. And then we got Aaron Jones, and, you know, and then the defense is, we've got some of those guys. It's just like, I don't know, to me, it seems to be our season. It seems to be the Packers season, I think, this coming year. But the one thing that I think is really cool is that, because, like, it's so young of a team, it should be like this season and next season. And, you know, like, I think the Packers are really, obviously with the sport, health is always something. And then you lose some of those guys down the road if it becomes too expensive, because you got the business aspect, but they raise the cap, so that might help. But I think the Packers, it's like, it's pretty amazing to see where they're at. And I think all of us Packer fans are pretty psyched, because it looks like it's going to be a good year.
It's a good time to be a Packer fan, but when isn't it? I'm excited, because, like, I was really high on Jordan Love, but that's because I'm biased. And I'm, like, always like I remember telling people, because I was, like, a big defender of Aaron Rodgers. Not that I'm not now. I have no problem with Aaron Rodgers. But I would, anytime anyone, like, any analyst would say anything bad about Aaron Rodgers, I'd make a video. This guy doesn't know anything, you know, Aaron Rodgers. And then they're like, well, what happens when he leaves? I was like, I'll do the same thing for Jordan Love until he, you know, proves that he's not worthy of it or whatever. Like, if he would have came out and I wouldn't say that the first year I didn't expect him to be what he was. But if you're a quarterback in Green Bay, dude, I'm going to be rooting for you. I'm going to be yelling for you. I'm glad it turned out. Makes me look kind of smart, because I was telling people how great he's going to be. And that's not because I had any knowledge.
I know. I was watching. You always defending him. And I think, like, too, a couple things for Jordan Love that I really – one, you know, he's like a baller. He's just like – he just got better and better. But he didn't – like, just his whole, like, being so humble and just working and, like, you know, sticking to, like, believing in himself and believing in the team and just really being a guy that, like – I mean, it's kind of like a model, not only player, but human, right? Like, and so then you find out he's just an awesome ball player and he just need a little bit of time to get going. And then you're like, I don't know, what box does he not check right now? Because that's it. Like, the Packers, I think, have always really prided themselves on having people that fit in well in the community. Just, like, you know, that were really tried to be good citizens for Green Bay and for Wisconsin. And I don't know, it's pretty awesome. I think Jordan Love's going to be the man for a long time. And the guys that he's got around him are phenomenal. I mean, just look at all the receivers, man.
Yeah, and they're all young. So, like, everything is just going to get better every year. That's what I always say about Jordan Love. He did everything the way you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
You know, when he was the backup, he didn't really say too much. He just practiced. He got better. Everyone was slandering him, you know, saying he sucks. Even when he got the job, you know, Rodgers left, still the media was saying, oh, this guy can't do it. He's a backup at best, all this. He just – I mean, because I don't know if I would be able to shut up. Every time I turn on TV, they're like, Matt Ramage, he sucks. I can't stand this guy. I'd be like, hey, you know, go to hell.
Dude, I think from his point of view, too, like, he just acted like the true apprentice, right? He followed behind Rodgers, and he didn't – he kind of waited for his time. He didn't say much one way or another, and when he was getting attacked, he just kind of let his plane – you know, is just speak for it, right? Like, that's like, and that's what you're supposed to do, right? Instead of, like, running your mouth, like, let your actions on the field show people. And he did. I mean, obviously you were there running your mouth for him for a bit, right?
Yeah, like, I did that for him.
But he did. He's like, hey, and then we saw at the end of the season really where he was at, and you're just like, okay, yeah, this guy. But he didn't have to say it. He showed everybody. And I think, you know, credit to him, credit to the guys around him that knew who he was. I mean, it sounded like Rodgers knew who he was too. It sounded like Rodgers was just like, you know, hey, he just wait, you know. So
I think it's like kind of the same thing because Favre said the same thing about Rodgers, like after the fact. He said, I knew that Rodgers was that guy. Like, I knew that he was good. And Rodgers is the same thing. I mean, Rodgers and Love, I think, have a better relationship at this point than Favre and Rodgers did back then. But, yeah, I think that they both are a lot of similarities. But, all right, so let's move on to your lawyer and stuff, all right? I want to talk to you about, all right, you're known as
– the boring stuff.
No, I actually think it's awesome because you got a lot of influencers that you're working with. You're known as the billboard guy. Like everyone knows it. Cause I remember when I first signed with you, or even before then, I was telling my wife, about you. And then she's like, yeah, he's a billboard guy. And I really didn't know. Cause like, I see billboards, but like I live north of Green Bay. So I'm not, I seen one up here recently, but I'm not sure there was a bunch, but like everyone knew who you were. And I knew after she reminded me, I was like, oh yeah. Okay. I've seen your commercials, but not as much as she likes you a lot. Like my wife's like, oh, his commercials are hilarious. You should make videos like he does. I'm like, thanks.
Yeah, but, I appreciate that. You gotta tell her thanks for me. That's cool. I mean, she believed in me maybe before you did. So no,
I think she did because she was paying attention more. I didn't know that she's paying so much attention to you. But how did you? So when did you like? What year did you like open a practice and like get after college and all that? Like, how did that all come to be?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people are like, oh, did he just, because they, you know, all of a sudden one day they didn't know about me and the next day they did. But I've been practicing since 2007. So like I'm going on my 17th year here in about a month because it was in the end of April when I became an attorney in 2007. So, but yeah, you know, I was licensed in the western part of Wisconsin. I mean, I was licensed in Wisconsin, but I've been officed out of the western part of Wisconsin because that's where I ended up living. And then I kind of moved to Eau Claire and slowly worked across to like Green Bay and Milwaukee. But I know, our goal, because my brothers joined me eventually. They went to college, went to law school. And, you know, I told them, hey, we should get back to Green Bay. We were all, you know, we all went to school in Green Bay. My one brother and my sister were born in Green Bay. And we were always kind of like thinking that would be awesome. And we just started pushing it further and further and further. And like we had been doing things here and there, but like after the pandemic stuff, I was like, well, now is the time, like we should just come out swinging and just like have something that's fun that really represents who we are and how we're a different firm. And, you know, came up with the it's basically taking my face. I cartooned it. And then we took it was a picture. Then we added obviously the pine trees and because I've seen, like, you've ever seen the ones with like the palm trees, like they sell them at like, I don't know, probably.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But obviously you don't have palm trees. And I was like, I've never seen pine trees in glasses. Maybe it's somewhere, but it just seemed that seems cool. And as a lawyer, I've always been traveling. I've never not been a practicing lawyer. So even now I have quite a bit of cases. I'm still in courtrooms. I'm still practicing, representing people, fighting stupid insurance companies. Well, you don't have any insurance companies. They're sponsors, hopefully. So
no, not yet. But
yeah. So out doing that. And like, that's true. I'm always driving around. So if I have a pair of sunglasses, you probably see pine trees.
Right here behind me.
Yeah, right. Like, so yeah, and so that was kind of like, it just seemed fun. And I think like one of the big things too was it's something different, but you know me a little bit more now in our practice, and we're just really Midwest people like at heart, and we really take pride in that. And we're trying to figure out like what's a way to get that through instead of being the typical guy standing up there in a suit. But I can tell you, my one brother, Adam, was 2 years younger than me. When I showed him that we created that, he's like, that is so stupid. But my other brother, Ben, who's 8 years younger, he was, when I showed him it, I'm like, dude, we're going to do this. He's like, oh, that's all like, he's like, I like that. I like that. And so then when I saw my brother, he came up from the Eau Claire office and I'm like, hey, I got to show you something. And he's like, I think his words were like, you got to be joking. Like, you're kidding me. To this day now, he's like, yeah, I think it's cool. Yeah, it works now. But at the time, didn't. But, you know, that's just, he was a little skeptical. He didn't want us to look like, you know, a bunch of clowns or something. But I think what he realized and what I thought at first was people would recognize that we're, you know, it's just kind of indicative of that. We're from Midwest. We're from Wisconsin. You know, we enjoy the same things people do. We're the same kind of people that everyone else is. We just happen to be lawyers. And so that was what we're trying to get across. And, you know, with help of like getting partners too, like yourself, that are doing a lot of things that we like and are in a lot of subject matters that we like, we can be part of the community rather than just people coming to us when they're at their worst, right? Like a friend or family member has been injured, because that's a hard time. And I think it's easier for you to go to a person at that time if you already feel like they're represent you, you can trust them, and that they care. And we do. But it's hard to get that across, because every lawyer says that, right? Like every lawyer, I care about your family. Do you really? Like, so, you know, I think that's what I think we've done a good job branding and showing people that we do, because we really do. Like, we have like core values here, and it is, we care about our clients, we care about our community, we care about our coworkers, and we like to stick to that. And everybody here does that. And we hire people that are going to embody that. And, you know, that, so that's kind of how we started to really make sure that we were able to brand that out to the public, and people realize that we're different than some of the law firms and lawyers they may have experienced or seen in the past. So,
yeah, luckily I never had to have a lawyer for getting hurt, but yeah, I think what you're doing is cool, because I'd feel more comfortable talking to someone like you remind me, like I go to the bar and you're just no different than some guy I'm going to run into there having beers with. And so it's easier to talk to. Plus, you guys are good. So it's not like you're just like funny, like we have cool billboards, but you're like, you're good at what you're doing. You got some awards, award winning. So let me ask you about that, because I always say that like on my podcast, award winning. But like, what does that mean? What awards do you got? And how does that work? Because I don't think anyone's ever been invited to the lawyer award shows.
Yeah, right. And so, yeah, it's easy to say award winning. But yeah, we actually have awards as a law firm and lawyers, like, in the western part of Wisconsin, out of Eau Claire, there's like this big reader poll that's done, and consistently are like number one for personal injury lawyers and law firms in general. We even now in Minnesota, in Twin Cities, we've got an award for like one of Minnesota's best. But then as lawyers individually, we get awards too. And there's publications like Super Lawyers, and I've been, you know, top 40 under 40. There's like a Trial Lawyers top 40 under 40. Now I'm over 40. So now I've got like in the top 100. But also like Wisconsin Law Journal, which is like a prestigious, you know, journal in Wisconsin, that put me and my brother Ben as like the top 30 lawyers in Wisconsin. There's like this Power 30 list, and we both made it. So it's stuff like that. And those are reviewed by peers and you know, other professionals in the legal industry. And that's pretty cool. So like when that's always been the big thing. And like you're talking about, is, you know, you have the fun billboards, but you also have to let people know that if they come to us, we're actually going to do a good job, right? Because like, you do like somebody you can approach and sit with and have a beer, and that's awesome, because I think we should be able to do that. But they also are, you know, it's just like if you're hiring a plumber, they got to be able to fix what, you know, right?
Yeah, they can't just be like cracking jokes like, and you're like, you know, they're like, oh, this guy is funny, but my sink still leaks.
Yeah, like I love this guy, but he didn't fix my sink, my toilet seat, whatever. And that's the same with us as lawyers. Like, we better do our job. We better get good results. And, you know, we do it. Like my brother Adam won a jury trial not too long ago. I won a big jury trial. And so like we definitely try to deliver the results and do our best to make sure that when people hire us, they're like, hey, these guys are cool. They're easy to talk to. They understand me. They care about me and my family. But when it, you know, they're going to deliver on what they need to do for us too, because ultimately that's why they're hiring us. So,
yeah. And especially like what you do is so important, because like you said, some the people that you work with, that's like the worst time of their life. Something horrible happened, and the insurance company is screwing them around, and then you're helping. So it's not like, I mean, not the down plumbers, but like, it's not a leaky sink. It's someone, their life has been altered, and they're going to hire someone that it's important that they get it done, which, you know, that's why they go to you.
Well, plumbers, you know, you never know. You get a leak. Like, we had a leak in our house before, and it seemed to some people might.
Oh, yeah. It's a big deal.
So, hey, man, I love those.
I'm not dogging plumbers at all. I wish I could do that.
I'm like the guy, too, that's like, oh, I can fix it. Well, you know that I'm going to waste, like, 2 hours and call the professional anyway. So
I had a leak in my basement, like, a year ago, and I just put a cap on it and left it. I was like, I don't need that water line no more, because there's, like, a water line to an old sink in the basement. We don't need it no more.
I'll respect the world for anybody, you know, in the trades or any of those professions. That's the other thing too that we try to do, is like, you know, whether it's a plumber or electrician, like the way that they've done things over the years is like, often if it's done correctly, you have like a master plumber, right? And you have people apprentice underneath them and all that. And we've been trying, we've been working that through our system here as lawyers, because I think that's how the best lawyers get formed as well. Like, my brothers both kind of apprenticed under me. And now we're carrying that on. And then, you know, we brought in some other lawyers that have had a lot of experience, and they're helping apprentice the younger ones. And so that when people hire us, they're not just going to have, oh, let's see what happens, right? Let's see if the leak gets fixed. Yeah. you know,
let's see what we can get here.
Yeah. Right. And I think like one of the things too, that is a problem, like in, it's in any industry, but the legal industry for sure is it's like making these mills. And then there's like one set of like this, you know, big part of a division that handles the pre-lawsuit stuff and then does this negotiation, does that. And like our office does it where like when you get, when you hire our office, you get a team of three, which is a lawyer, a paralegal, and a legal assistant generally, right? And so like that's who works on your case. Now, it doesn't mean that you won't have collaboration. Like, let's say a different lawyer's working on it and they need my help or something, or my brother, or you know, one of our managing attorneys, they'll help out too. But I was just thinking, like, if my, I was thinking about this, my mom actually works with us now. She's a retired nurse.
But dude, I'm going to come work for you too.
Yeah, yeah. She came in. It's pretty awesome. But she kind of works more part-time now. She's got a lot of grandkids to deal with. But I was just thinking, like, let's say she got injured and she had to call one of these firms. And how, I mean, that'd be crazy if they just passed around, like, right now you're in the pre-suit division and you might get a call, like, from this person, or you might get a call and then you sometime your case is going to go to this manager and this. And it's like that, I don't know. I wouldn't feel good about
Yeah. You're not talking to the same person. You're kind of getting tossed around to different departments. Yeah.
And we're in the service industry, like just like anything, like we got to take care of people and it's service, right? You want to give them that, like as much as you can, white glove approach and just take care of them. It's like the, really the golden rule, right? Like treat people like you want to, like you'd want to be treated.
Yeah.
And that's
especially how at that time when they need you is like, they're hectic. It's a bad, you know, it's kind of accident. Maybe someone got, you know, a lot of people got hurt, or maybe it's just them, whatever it is. But like, yeah, you don't, you're kind of an emotional wreck, I would assume. I've never been in a situation, luckily, but
yeah, I hope you never do. I mean, but a lot of times too, you know, people get injured and they can't work. And you know, if you're not getting paid, that you might not have money for rent or your mortgage or your gas or groceries or your kid, you know, like, and so that stuff is super important. And I don't think, you know, you didn't just pass them around. You got to make sure they're taken care of and you got the right people on it. And I think, like you said, you know, people are it's a very important point in their life to like help them out with something that's stressful and take that weight off their shoulder. And we work really hard at doing that. And I think we've done a good job, and we just got to, as we grow, continue to make sure we do that. But so far so good. So.
Yeah. I think it's a beautiful thing. If I get in an accident ever, I don't know, because you sponsor me, does that mean I'm not qualified to have you as my lawyer? Do I get a discount? What's going on?
Yeah. Hopefully you never do, but yeah, we certainly, we'll certainly take care of you but I hope you don't ever do. But, and then that's the thing too, is like, you know, that I think for us too, it's just almost like a doctor or surgeon. Like generally you're not hoping people have to see you, but you're hoping that if they need someone, they hire you because you think you're going to do the best and take care of them. But yeah, like I mean, the hard part about what we do is we see people that are in terrible accidents, terrible injuries, or even, you know, God forbid, like the death of a loved one. And it's tough, you know, but you just look at it from the point of view as a professional. My job is to put them in the best situation after this. Like, what can I do to make their life as best as possible after that? You know, I can't go back and change it. If I could, that would be great, but I can't. All I can do right now is do the best to take the stress off them and get them and their family like in the best possible situation to move on, heal, you know, things like that. So.
Yeah. I someone's got to do it. Like, and then that's the thing, like you talk about, like when you're advertising and stuff, like you don't want people to need you, but there are people that do. There's car accidents every day. People get hurt and they need someone that is going to help them and treat them right. But, I want to ask you a little bit about the, your push here. Like you got this, like you see here, you got the can koozies, hold my beer, which I think that is like a beautiful, like the logo with your mug there, the hold my beer. How did you like you kind of talked about how you came up with the image with the sunglasses and all that, but like, how did you decide to like bring out, like start doing like the merch and like everything that, I mean, not that that's what you're pushing, but like how you started like pushing not just that, but like with influence too.
Yeah. I think it was just about like trying to get out in the community and have fun. Like we're talking about earlier of just like being able to meet with people and have them know us, not just when times are tough. Right. So then they can trust
us.
Like, it's just fun. It started to like years ago. I think one of the first music events we sponsored maybe was Country Jam in Eau Claire. And so back then it's funny too, because I was like basically the one doing it, showing up with the tent, putting the tent up. Dude, I slept in my truck one night at one of those events, wake up the next morning. I wouldn't suggest doing that, but like, I was just out doing, I was doing a lot, but it was fun. But when I was there at, you know, we had put together, I think maybe at the time we just had some koozies and maybe these hats, like we've been kind of for a long time. And so I put up the little booth and I'm thinking at the Country Jam, like, man, I wonder if anybody will like want lawyer stuff, right? Like we're lawyers. and just like the reaction and the people waiting in line and talking and, you know, having a beer with them and listening to music. And after that, I was like, dude, this is what we should be doing when we're not helping people. Like, we should be engaged in the community and having fun with these people and like having cool stuff that like I would like to wear, that other people like to wear. And so that's kind of how it went. And now we just have a lot of fun with it. And obviously having the logo like we do, you know, you got it on your head. Like, we can put it a lot.
Yeah, I love this hat, by the way. Yeah. Like, not all winter beanies. Like, they don't all fit my head great, like everybody. And like, when you get one that fits right, because I usually lose them, first of all. Like, I'll probably have this in 2 weeks and it'll be gone.
Yeah, we'll give you another one, so let us know.
But yeah, so like, I see that you got to meet, you met up with Charlie Behrens.
Yeah, we've been trying to do some collabs. We got some stuff in the works. And yeah, I mean, you know, Charlie is a cool dude. I think like what he had said too is he kind of sees like our brand. I mean, obviously he does it at a different level and he's not a lawyer. So he's, you know, what he does is a lot more fun for a lot more people than what we do.
Yeah. Obviously.
He's like, you know, our brands are kind of similar and we've been doing some collabs, and then we all sponsored their podcast Bellied Up, which was fun. I'm going to be on an episode of that too. Like, I did some where I called in, but there'll be one where I'm at a bar with them, and that was a ton of fun. And like the kind of same thing you said originally too, he was surprised that I'm sitting there in trucker hat in a flannel, having a beer with those guys. But it's fun. I mean, that's what I've always liked to do. And we get to do it now and kind of get paid for it, right? Because it's part of our brand and it's part of our job. But yeah, and meeting up with, you know, like someone like yourself or Charlie or Miles or any, you know, working with Quick Trip, like, that's all just totally awesome. You know, it's kind of like icing on the cake of being a lawyer. Yeah. I like being a lawyer. I like helping people. I like the stuff we do. But like, now that we get to do these fun things and, you know, have merch, like, it's just awesome, man. I love it. So,
yeah. And like, I kind of compared a lot because I got to meet a lot of players and like, they're just normal people. Like, just like you, like you're a lawyer, like you have a serious job, but like, doesn't mean that you have to be a uptight dude or whatever. Like, you guys have fun, but it's the same thing with players. Like, I'm going to talk with Kenny Clark here pretty quick. And like, he's like a monster. He's fast. He's ferocious. He's a quarterback killer. Then you talk to him and he's like the nicest, quiet, you know, chill guy. I'm sure with his friends, he gets crazy at times or whatever, but a lot of these players, they're just quiet. They're just regular people. They go home to their families like everyone else, or they just have a really cool job. So I kind of compare it a little bit the same, where you just have a job where traditionally people kind of see it as like, you know, cause all the lawyers on TV, have you been hurt in an accident? That's one thing I want to ask before you get out of here. I know you got some lawyer and stuff to do today, but these commercials. So when you do these commercials, because you got one where you're a bartender. I'll throw a clip in here. I don't have it with me. I don't have it on my. But I'll spice a clip in here to show one of your commercials. But that rapping commercial that you did, like, how did that go? Was like, because was that your son that was?
Yeah, it was one of my sons. That's my son Jacob. Yeah,
and so I thought that was hilarious. Like, how did those go down? Like, how do you like think of the ideas and like, do you? Like, because they look like regular commercials. Whenever you see like a lawyer commercial or kind of a local business commercial, they're always kind of like a little trashy. But your commercials are like so good. Looks like Steven Spielberg's on those things. Who's your director?
Yeah, we're fortunate enough. Like, years ago, some guys in Hudson that lived in Hudson, I ran into them through like a mutual connection. We kind of did some videos, and then they started a studio over in Minneapolis, and we've always been buddies. And you know, I like to come up with ideas. And so somebody said in like a, I don't know if it was Reddit or somewhere, like, does this guy just like wake up from a dream, write this something down and say, this is what we're doing? It's not exactly that way, but I'm like sitting around thinking, sometimes I'm having a couple of beers or just chilling at home. And I'm like, hey, you know, this sounds like this would be fun. We get inspiration for something. And then I tell those guys, hey, I want to do this. What do you guys think? And then we try to figure out something that like will look good. But not, you know, I've had a few ideas. Like, if I could, like, budget wise, if you had endless budget, I would have done them and they would have been sweet. But like, we got to watch budget too. But I mean, we've had a ton of fun. And I just always look at it from the point of view, like, people are watching TV, especially if they're watching TV, the Packer games, you know, or something like that. They usually want to be entertained. And so like, boring lawyer commercials kind of just take away from that. So I always thought, like, if I can entertain people, like, they would like it, they'll watch it. I know some people, you know, some people are like, oh, that's not professional, or that's, you know, why would I ever hire a guy that jumps through a billboard? But at the same point, you know, I'm just entertaining people. We're having fun with it. I get to get my kids involved sometimes. And
I think that was great with the, when he comes up and he's like, Dad, what are you doing? Like, yeah. Making a rap video.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun. We were, you know, I was in there and I was just rapping, man. And he was sitting there. And it's funny because he was kind of like that, like, what's going on, man? But yeah, it was like, those guys have been really good to work with and good to me. And they've been working with me on and off for things for many years. So they know the brand, they know me pretty well. And they also have an idea of like where we can kind of do things in a way that's fun, but also it looks high quality. Because I mean, I think that's what the people want. Like, they want to see something that looks good. And even if they don't like it, hey man, at least they got to see it. They can say, this guy's an idiot, this bald guy with a beard, some dumb, you know, whatever. But at least, you know, it gives them something to be entertained, even if they don't like it. But I think we've had a lot of fun with those. So,
yeah, I see them a lot more now. Maybe I didn't notice them as much before, but I think that they're high quality, because you've seen like the commercials, like car lots, like, hi, I'm Bill and this is Jimmy. And it's like the audio's off and it's like someone just pulled out their iPhone, recorded in the parking lot. It's all windy, no production. But your commercials are like, you know, they're the real deal.
Yeah, I'm not a great actor, but I've gotten a little better at acting just because you see yourself enough on TV. You're kind of like, that looks not, I could do it better, you know? So I'm always trying to get a little bit better. Not that I'll ever be a professional actor. I won't be like a Charlie Barron. So those guys just knock it out of the park.
Dude, they're so good.
Yeah, they are. And like when Charlie was here the other day and I was just thinking like the guy, I know we had a lot of fun. We were actually drinking lines at my office.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we were having a good time. But I think like, just the level that those guys have of, you know, this like the comedic stuff on the internet, the level that they do it at is so awesome. But I can always strive to get somewhere near there. I'll never be close, but like, you know, always trying to on our end to up it and figure out, is there something way we can do it a little bit better, a little more funny, you know, whatever. So we're always.
Yeah. I think that's what everyone's trying to do. Cause even me, like I try to get better at this podcast. And like when I first started podcasting, I had players on, I had no business talking to any player. Like I had no idea what I was doing. And then you kind of learn on the go. But I think your commercial are great. But yeah, Charlie is like it's Charlie, and then there's like everyone else scattered below. Like he's so, not just him, but Miles too. I don't know him. I met Charlie. He was on my show one, like a pregame show he did. But the way he just keeps putting out content too. Like, how does he never run out of ideas? Like, I don't know if he has, like, a writer. Because, like, I always think that. Like, how does he keep coming up with this? Like, year after year, you think he'd run out, but he does not.
Yeah, I know. I think he's a pretty very creative guy, but also a real super intelligent guy. And I think one of the fun things is for me, you know, like, just like you, I was born and raised in Wisconsin. And so, like, a lot of things that we do that we don't even know we do, the way we say things or do things. And he picked up on a lot of that and been able to have a lot of fun with it. And I think it's cool because at the same time he came out, I was traveling a lot to other states for lawyer things. And people would always be like, well, you can't tell you're from Wisconsin, you know? And I was like, what are you talking about? And then later I'm like, oh yeah, I guess that's how we do it. But I love it. I think, and I also think that he's done it in a way where people can be kind of proud of like, yeah, we do things a little bit different, but it's pretty fun. And for him to go out there and like make a brand off of it, I think that's awesome. So,
yeah, I remember like, cause I say keep removing a lot. Yep. Not like a lot, but a little bit. I remember one time in one of my videos, someone said, oh, you're trying to copy Charlie Barron's. I was like, do you know what he does? He's showing what people in Wisconsin talk like. He didn't invent Keep Removing. He's showing it. I mean, he owned it. He owns it now. But like everyone pretty much says, I don't think anyone, I don't know anyone that doesn't think Keep Removing at some point.
Yeah. And that's
what I always say it.
Yeah, right.
That's our way of saying move you.
Yeah.
Keep Removing.
And then, you know, no, yeah, yeah, no, like all that kind of stuff. Oh, you know, like we all say that stuff. We just I didn't even really realize it until people from other states are telling me that I have a strong Wisconsin accent. I'm like, what are you talking about? But, and I'm proud of it. Like, and I think, you know, as I'm sure you are, it's just like part of who we are. And like, this is a great state to be part of. Like, you know, I show you, I got my, oh, that's the wrong arm here. I'm looking at the mirror, but I've got,
you got the
Wisconsin tattoo, man. Like, I love this state. I love I love the people here. I love being part of it. And, you know, and obviously now it's more fun too with you guys, with working with some of you influencers, like yourself, you know, and being more, even more part of like just the community and having fun with people on, you know, on social media, because like on social media, most lawyer pages don't have anything cool going on, and we get to work with you guys and, you know, work with Quick Trip and all the fun people that we've been dealing with. And it's just awesome. And I'm excited, like, over the next even months, but years, just to see how things continue to grow and all the fun we can have. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able, like me, especially trying to get over to Green Bay. Like, I go there, but often I'm in and out pretty quick. It'd be fun to stay over there for a few days and, like, you know, hang out with you guys and, you know, maybe do some events in order to try to get some stuff in Milwaukee this year that we've been working on too. So,
yeah, I think that'd be awesome. Yeah. Like, you come to Green Bay, we could do a video over by Lambeau Field.
Yeah. No, I love it. I know there, you guys always have some tailgate stuff going on. And so,
Me and Ryan, or it's not mine, but like I go there.
Yeah.
Tailgate. But, tailgating is like insanely. Do you tailgate? Like you say, you go to a lot of games, but you're going there for like business. So you're probably, you got your business hat on, well, or whatever. Not really.
I get a lot of tickets in, and we have a deal with Packers Broadcast. We've done some stuff with them and we get ticket packages. And so typically what I do is, it started off where I get like two tickets for every so many games, like with just different vendors. I get them randomly. So I just pick one of my kids to go with me because I want to bring them to Holy Land because they didn't grow up in Green Bay. And I wanted to like get them one. I want to be, you know, get Packer fans, but two, like just find out what it's like to be in Green Bay and the vibe here. And then over time, you know, I've got some of these big, like now I've got more partners we work with and we get more tickets. And so we're here from like almost every home game. But what usually happens is we would often get here, kind of come in, you know, not last minute, but pretty close to the game. The WLUK folks always have us over at their tailgate spot. So, you know, I get some food, feed the kids, because you know how kids are, they're always hungry. And, you know, I have a couple of beers and then we would just walk across to the stadium, get in our seats. And then usually after that, I got to buzz back. And a lot of times we stay in Wausau. Wausau's I love Wausau. I worked there for a bit when I was in college. I actually worked at the Granite Peaks ski. It was Rib Mountain and Granite Peaks. And then I also worked
for
vendors. So we stay there and then that's kind of halfway home. So, you know, it's been a lot of fun. But I've got to come over with a little bit more time. I can come stop by you guys for a bit and, you know.
Yeah, you got to hit that Shotsky with us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I've seen that thing. That looks pretty awesome. So, yeah, definitely got to make that happen this year. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think it's a great tailgate because I don't have to do nothing. I just show up.
Those are the best ones. When you're not responsible for anything, then you don't have to.
Yeah.
All the folks that, like, that actually do the setup and make it work for us lazy folks like me and you that just get to enjoy it. Thank you, right? Like, thank you.
Yeah, and then that's why I always tell everyone, be sure to tip your tailgater.
Yeah, right? They make it
happen. I have no problem tipping. They're doing all the work.
But I can tell you what, like having the experiences that I've had bringing my boys to Green Bay, you know, going to the game, all this stuff has been like just awesome. It's kind of like what you dream of, you know, having your kids come to Green Bay, enjoy the Packers, enjoy the experience, you know, get to see where I grew up a bit and get to be part of that kind of culture. And you know, the only problem is I told him you can't harass the Bears fans too much because they're walking, you know, like we were walking out.
Yeah.
I see the last Bears game that we were there for, my son was really chanting, Bears still suck. I'm like, dude, just, it's good, but don't rub it. These guys are pretty beat down. It's been a long time.
You
get a little bit, but you know, don't be too hard on them. Don't be too hard on them because it's been a long one for them. So,
like, yeah, like you mentioned your kid, like I brought my kids to games like when they were young, and now my older boy, I go to games with him and we drink together. It's like so crazy to like, you know, to be able to have your son there and we have a few beers. And like, I don't know if you saw that video of that last Bears game. I was doing the same thing. I was walking. I think I was live on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. And I was yelling, the Bears still suck. And there was no Bear fans where I wasn't rubbing it in. But then some lady walked by right in between us. And I was like, I apologize. And then she's like, no, you're good. And she kind of laughed about it. But I was celebrating, but yeah, I definitely ain't trying to rub it in and try to be a
D-man. Yeah, and I know we all have fun with it. And it, like you go out in the parking lot and it's going on, you know, they got the Bears still suck polka playing. And it was funny, like, cause this is like the quintessential Packer fan. This was maybe 2 years ago. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it was a Bears game. We walk out, Packers won. And there's a guy sitting in his folding chair. And he's like, looks at me and my son. He's like, Packers win. It's going to be a good week. And I was like, hell yeah, man. That's how we want to start the week off on the Sundays. So it was pretty awesome. And you know, my kids were there to enjoy that. And it's like, you know, like I said, the fans for the Packer games are just awesome. It's just like, it's an experience in itself. So.
Yeah. Like having your kid going to the Packer game. I think it's a beautiful thing. It doesn't matter the age, like when they're young up to like when they're adults. It is always a good time over there. But I appreciate you taking time. I know you got some lawyer and stuff to do, but everyone
coming in on me. Apparently I should have put the shade on. So I
apologize. Yeah, your back's all hot. But so people who do need your services, they go to NicolayLaw.com. Is that right?
Yep. NicolayLaw.com. Give us a call at 1-855-NICOLAY. Either way, just reach out to us and we're more than happy to help. And if sometimes people call us with their issues, we try to find someone. We have a really great intake team here. Super nice and friendly. And like, so there's people that call us and unfortunately we can't help everybody because we don't do other areas of law. We just do injury law, but we usually try to find some good place to send them, help them out, help people out, get them on the right direction. So, just visit us at NicolayLaw.com or give us a call. So
there you go. I appreciate you taking the time and maybe someday I'm going to be in a commercial.
Yeah, I think we got to make that work. That'd be awesome. So,
dude, even like a cameo where like you're doing the thing, and I'm just in the back, just kind of like.
I think that could work. I think we need to do that. So we'll have to get some idea. We'll get an idea board up and get some good plans going.
Yeah, my mom will be proud of me if
we can make that. Yeah, and then your wife will be able to see. She's like, oh, he's on, Matt's on there too. So
yeah, I'm on a commercial. That's my life goal. Is to be on a Nicolay Law commercial. All right, everyone, thank you for tuning in. Big shout to Russ Nicolay, it's kind of hard because at the end I promote Nicolay Law, but you're here. But so big shout out to Nicolay Law and, of course, Quick Trip. Be sure you're going to get that chicken, be in the sweepstake to win chicken for life until you die. So be sure that you're using the Quick Rewards app. And we out of here. Go Pack Go, people.
All right, man. Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Yep.